You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast.
What?
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
Yes, it is.
Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started.
All the resources.
As well as community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Are you going to say it after every pause I do?
I don't know, maybe.
All right, let's see if we can do this. Be sure to visit newchurches.com/courses to learn about the two premier courses that we have to help you as you lead and make disciples. The newest one is entitled Missional Church Multiplication, and it's all about helping your church become missional and then multiply.
I was waiting for you to breathe.
I did it.
Good job.
Thank you. Although everything I just said didn't really mean anything because I was just trying to say it as fast as I could.
Especially if people have it on 1.5 speed.
Yes, that's true. We should listen
the
back
great
to
thing
that
is,
in 1.5
that speed. Ed does half of these, which means you can't really put Ed on 1.5 speed or it sounds like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Well, that is Todd Adkins. My name is Daniel M. What? And today we have a great question on multi-site from Tyler Strange. So let's listen in.
Yeah, I serve in a context where we are exploring multi-site for a growing community. This community is currently about 13 or 14 neighborhoods across a 5-mile radius. And in this area, there is a young high school that's about 8 years old. But there is nothing else in this area that fosters community larger than the individual neighborhoods. So I am looking, asking for suggestions and advice on how we can take these smaller neighborhoods and foster, invite, and create a larger community identity that gives the region a sense of identity. Thanks.
Well, I love, Tyler, how you're thinking big picture and you're thinking of how to, I guess, bring these smaller communities together. There are a lot of questions that I have about that first. Historically, have there been other organizations or other events that have brought all of the surrounding communities together? If not, I mean, I guess that's a question to ask why. Maybe there's no centrally organized. Are they all a part of the same county, maybe, or the same district, for example? So is there maybe even a chamber of commerce that has done something in the past? I would try to ask questions into the neighborhood and see people's perspectives, even if they would be open to that.
Okay. So one of my strengths finder is activator.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm just going to get started.
You want to get going?
I want to get going. I'm going to organize a couple of things first, and then I'm going to meet with the Chamber of Commerce afterward.
So you wouldn't go and ask around and see if something's happened?
Totally. I would ask,
you would ask someone else to do
going.
That, right?
I'd be like, hey, Daniel, can you go check out this and the other? I'm going to plan Saturday morning rec activities in these three places so that people can begin to be in the community. I mean, what I love about what you're talking about is you need to invite people into your life before you invite them into your church. Not necessarily. But, you know, if it's somebody that you're quote unquote targeting, like, you know, the clerk at Publix grocery store or somebody that you're coming into contact with on a regular basis, you know, that's where you're, you know, trying to invite them into your life before inviting them into your church. If it's just a one off and, you know, you might not see that person, absolutely invite them into church. I wanted to put that caveat there.
Yeah.
But usually people are open to community before they're open to conversion. So one of the most successful things that we did was sports. It really was. So you would have, two strategies. One was creating an intramural team to go into a community and play sports, and then, you know, hopefully grab people from the other team afterwards and pull them into conversations and bring them into our lives and bring them into our church. The other was pickup games. Mm-hmm. So it was, hey, here's a couple of bags. I mean, they were just big mesh bags with like 3 to 4, you know, things, activities or whatever that you could do in any park on a Saturday morning. So the cool thing was it would be, hey, we're going to have volleyball here or basketball here, or we're going to do ultimate frisbee here. And the idea is we're going to go to where people kind of already are. And when we see people or families, we're going to invite them to play with us. And inevitably, you know, if you play sports with someone, if you invest that time in someone or that experience with someone, then you kind of have earned your ask, or you've earned your invite.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean, you know, you could cold ask somebody to come to your church, but if you ask him after playing an ultimate frisbee for an hour, the result can be quite different.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the idea of sports, because to certain personality types, I mean, that's going to be one of the best ways for their guard to be lowered, especially after a game of pickup. Everyone's sharing Powerade together, or, you know, Gatorade, and just hanging out. And they're just like, and they're just, you know, the barriers go down, right? Because you're just, you've been sweating together, and it's just one of those things. To other personalities, I mean, things like even creating a moms and tots group, right? Or creating something for mothers of young children, or even just, let's say, doing park activities. So in the previous few churches that I've been a part of, we've organized community-centered kind of fun days. And what we would do with those fun days is we would rent bouncy houses, we would do cotton candy machines. It would just kind of be like a little bit of a carnival type, do dunk tanks, raise money for a local charity, just do something, not to raise money for your own church, but do something that's really community focused, community oriented, and have that where, you know, I appreciate what you said, Todd, earlier about Tyler inviting someone and for him to encourage his entire church to just bring one person.
Yeah, you've got to model it. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, bring people to our church without ever introducing people that you've brought to church.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that we did was, you know, we wanted people in groups. And as our campus structure grew, we often had people who went to different campuses, but were in the same community. So the crazy thing was, is you might have a small group that went to a couple of different campuses. And so one of the things that we did, we said, hey, we don't want you to compartmentalize church. I do not want church to be something that you do on the weekend. The rest of your life is your life. Church is what, you know, a lot of church happens between Sundays. And so in order to do that, you have to have a community mentality. So one of the things that we did was regional communities, where we said, hey, this isn't your small group getting together once a month. This is the small groups in that whole, you know, set of neighborhoods that he just talked about. It's all of them getting together at one location, and, you know, maybe they have bouncy houses. That's awesome. Many will come to know him through the bouncy house, but, you know, burgers and bouncy houses, whatever it is. And so we would have these massive gatherings, and it looked like a house party.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been at one where the police showed up. We were having that much of a good time. And
awesome.
We were, you know, people are just like, what is going on at that house?
Yeah. Because you do make that the ripple effect does happen in an entire neighborhood.
So
especially if it happens on a regular basis too.
Yeah.
If it's a one-off, you know, the impact, I guess if you keep on doing it, the more that you do it exponentially, your community impact's going
to
grow.
Well, what happens is I'm not inviting a person to a church, I'm inviting them to an event that feels more like a party in somebody's house. And so there's people there, there's tons of people there. And at some point during the evening, we would take a, you know, 5 to 15 minutes. That's it. And mm-hmm. we would just say who we were, why we were here. And we would have one or two people share something that they were doing in the community. So that was basically a testimony almost of what their group or what they were doing in the community, and inviting people to do that as well. So that may have been serving, you know, through a community organization, and, you know, whether that organization was, I don't know, sacred or secular, didn't matter. It was like, hey, this is something that I'm doing or my small group is doing in the community. And it becomes sacred because Christians are doing it, and they're doing it together, and they're inviting other people in it.
Yeah.
And they're having those conversations.
Well, earlier on, you, Todd, said that your one of your StrengthsFinder themes is Activator. One of mine is Strategic.
Strategic is actually my number one, bro. Yeah,
there you go. So
Maximizer number two.
Maximizer is my number one. We can probably do a whole episode on this.
We should.
We should. But going back to why I mentioned Strategic in the first place, my father owned a billiards hall. So I would often work there, spend a lot of time there, free
Note
labor,
to self,
right?
Never play Daniel.
Well, it's fun. It's fun to play. And I've definitely logged a lot of hours. But I remember as a young teenager trying to figure out how to beat my dad. And that was really every time I went. And this was before I started working there. It was more of a I came because both of my parents had to be there or my sisters didn't want to watch me. So I would always ask my dad to play with me. And even if he would like let me win 3/4 of the time and I'd have like 2 balls left, he would just at the end, just knock them all in. And I would be like, how do you do that? Like, how do you keep on beating me? And he's like, I'll give you one. Here's a lesson. You always have to think of the shot after the current shot. If all you're thinking about is the current shot you're making, then you'll never win because you'll put yourself in a bind the next. So you always need to place your white ball, the white ball, into the position that you want to get your next ball in and so on. And the really good players will actually map out the whole table after they break and be able to, you know, clean it up in one shot. I say that because when you think about community events and you think about reaching your neighborhood, you want to have a multi-step process in that, right? So for example, if you're wanting to eventually invite people into your church, yeah, one park activity is great, but what's even better is let's say you're wanting to unite 3 sites or 3 campuses together, then maybe you have it where you do rotating community events amongst in the closest neighborhoods to the 3 campuses, and you have each campus help the other one out so that there's greater impact when each of the community does that. I mean, that's, and then after you do that, you say, okay, what is our next step? What is our ask? So that when people come, they don't just have a fun time. We want them to have a fun time and grow from it. But how are they going to know that the church was a part of it? How are they going to know what their next steps are? Because maybe you don't want to be too invasive and say, oh, you know, I'll do that after the second or the third time. But people may not come the second or third time. And and then people aren't, if you're open and you're saying, hey, here's a free event, we're going to hang out, it's hosted by our church. If you want more information, we have this. And then you have another less threatening event
totally.
Following up.
You want to make sure everything has a next step and that it's easy, obvious, and strategic.
Yes.
You're trying to push them in one direction. This isn't, you know, you're not selling a timeshare.
Mm-hmm.
This should take 5 minutes. It should include some very clear information of what the next step is. And it should also include a story.
Yeah.
Not from the pastor,
right. Right. That's
from
good.
One of the people in your congregation.
Good stuff. Be sure to submit your question into speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device. Or if you're on your computer, you can go to newchurches.com and hit the tab on the right and submit your voicemail. We'll check you out next time.